Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for this Sunday is our second lesson appointed for this Sunday, reading in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is God's Word. Fellow redeemed, members of Christ's one body. This week and next week, God willing, we review what the Bible says about Christian stewardship. That is our use of everything who we are and everything that we have that belongs to God that He has endowed us to use for His glory. When it comes to who we are and what we are to do as God's children, it's all about Jesus. That is the theme that our larger family of faith, our church at large, the Wisconsin Synod, has chosen for the theme of its Bible study and its desire for congregations to visit their members over the next months. How often don't you and I forget that simple and powerful truth? It's all about Jesus. And when we keep that in the forefront of our minds, then we are well armed to fight off the temptations that attack us every day to sin. Then we are equipped and ready to give witness to our faith as those ask us about the hope that is in us. It's all about Jesus. With that thought in the forefronts of our heads and our hearts, then you and I are able to face all the trials and tribulations of life, even death itself. Up to this point, in his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul had been outlining for them how they were all, by the mercy of God, His children, both Jew and Gentile alike. He begins the next part of that with the word, therefore. God, by His mercy in Christ, has made you all His children. Therefore, this now is how you are and will live as the children of God. We bring those thoughts together this morning under the theme, in view of God's mercy, we live. First, we live as sacrifices. Second, we live in the church as one. You Christians want to sacrifice yourselves and all you have to the Lord. That's as true as an apple tree wants to bear apples. The question is, how do we do that? Why and how are we able to have this willingness and this joy to sacrifice to God as good stewards. And when we're talking about sacrifice here, we're not talking about just meaningless outward actions that are done under either the threat or commendation. Paul uses the technical term here to offer sacrifice that comes from a broken and a contrite heart. A sacrifice that comes as a fruit of faith in Jesus. How are our sacrifices holy and pleasing to God? When they flow in view of God's mercy. We could translate that because you offer yourselves as stewards because God has been merciful to you. Because you know the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. A grace that was given to Caleb this morning in his holy baptism. It means I sacrifice because God has been good to me. In eternity, God looked down and saw my miserable, lost condition under sin, and in His nature of love, determined to act in love. And He did that, didn't He? He so loved us that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to be in my place. It's like, remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and God provided the ram that got stuck in the thicket, and Abraham offered that ram in place of Isaac. God in love has been merciful to you and to me. He has sacrificed Jesus Christ in our place. There can only be one spiritual act of worship that follows God's act of sacrificial love for us in Christ. The word translated in the NIV spiritual also has the meaning of logical or reasonable. God has, in Christ, by bringing us to faith, transformed our minds. He's renewed our minds. He's given us new minds, the minds of Christ. And in those new minds that we have as God's children, there's only one logical thing to do in view of God's mercy. There's only one reasonable way for us to use what God owns and we manage. And that is to offer our bodies, ourselves, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Jesus Christ offered His body as a living sacrifice to pay for our sins. We offer to God our bodies as living sacrifices to give thanks to Him for what He has done for us. That's our living faith. That's our being living sacrifices. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus did for me. It's all about Jesus and my gratitude and joy that I now extend to Him. The Holy Spirit has seen to it so that you and I no longer will be conformed to the pattern of this world. That's like pouring molten lead into a mold. And that lead will take and conform to whatever shape the mold is. With our new minds, you and I are no longer poured into the patterns of this world. We're no longer molded and shaped, we might say, by the way the unbelieving world, the sinful world, wants to shape us. But rather, Paul says, be transformed. You kids all know what transformers are. They change from one thing into another. We have been transformed. We have been changed from sinful human beings with earthly minds to sinful human beings who have the mind of Christ. And recognize that it's logical and reasonable, it's spiritual for us to use ourselves and what God has given us in the way that God guides us to do that. You Christians and all Christians neither want nor need their pastors to try to scold you into being better stewards. And that's especially true when it comes to money. Nobody wants the pastor to try to scold them into giving more. Well, it's also true that when the Lord has granted individuals or a congregation financial stability and has kept His promise to bless us materially with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, as He has done with Bethlehem, then don't expect your pastor to say, "Well, good job in the past. You don't have to be such good stewards anymore because we've got enough. And that's all we need." And that's because stewardship has nothing to do with not having enough. It doesn't have anything to do with having enough. It's all about Jesus. It's all about His mercy and His sacrifice on the cross for us that redeemed us from the power of our sins, that's going to take us to heaven instead of hell, that richly and daily, for the sake of His Son, God provides us all we need. Christian stewardship is all about Jesus. Be stewards in view of God's mercy. Offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In view of God's mercy, we live. In view of God's mercy, we live in the church also as one. In this world and in the church, in our congregation, there is among us economic inequality. There is among us inequality when it comes to different gifts and different abilities and different interests that God gives us. That's true in our vocations, isn't it? But it's also true in our congregation. There are inequalities among us in a variety of different ways. But there is equality in the cross of Jesus Christ for us. There is complete equality for us in the offering of God's grace and salvation to us in the gospel. There's perfect equality as the Holy Spirit calls to us and invites us, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. There is equality for us in what Jesus has done for us, and there is equality among us in doing something for Him. There is that equality in that transformation, in that renewing of our minds, in giving us that new attitude, that new logical conclusion about living the Christian life. And because of that, I'll suggest that we can use a word for the church and for our congregation that we don't often use, and I don't know if I've ever used it. And that word is commonwealth. That word means to have wealth in common. It means to have different things, but use them for the common good. William Perkins, a Puritan theologian in England in the 16th century, wrote these words once in a sermon. Quote, "A vocation or calling is a certain kind of life, ordained and imposed on man by God for the common good." Unquote. And then in the sermon, Perkins went on to quote those words of Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We have different gifts, or in chapter verse 5. "So in Christ, we who are many form one body." We have different gifts and different graces, and yet we live together in the commonwealth of the church to use those for the common good. And we determine those, Paul writes, by using sober judgment in keeping with your faith. That is, in view of what Christ has done for us, using our faith, we are to judge ourselves soberly when it comes to using what we have for God. What does that mean to use sober judgment? Well, it means a man's got to know his limitations. It means a person has got to be willing to do and use what he excels at. It means that in my faith in Christ, I will not be falsely humble, nor will I be proud and arrogant. It means I won't judge that what I have is not needed or not necessary, but I will see its goodness for others. It means to be honest and to be realistic. It means to have no false pride or false humility. You and I, in view of Christ's mercy, in view of God's mercy, we live in the church as one. And just as the human body has many different parts that work together for the common good, so we are the many parts of Christ's spiritual body, the church, that are to work for the common good. Next Sunday, God willing, we'll take a look now in the verses that follow these about how Paul talks about some of those different gifts and how we might use those gifts as different parts of the same body, one in Christ, one in the commonwealth of the church, one for each other, one who do not all have the same function, but one who all live in view of God's mercy. Amen.